Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Dr. Cappuccino of the Dr. Cappuccino Show. I got a little cold this morning, but you know what? The spirit is alive and kicking. And here we are once again another Saturday to talk about how you can get out of hell, part four, and stay out. Someone is waiting for you. Listen, someone is waiting for you to step out of prison. So hold on. Someone is hoping and praying that you'll come off of that hospital bed. So you got to get out of hell. Someone is praying that you will not take your life no matter what, because they need you. They need to hear from you. They need your arms around them. So hold it. Someone is praying that without all fail, that the doctor will say your cancer, whatever disease you have, is in remission. Someone is waiting for you. And that's the topic of this show. Get out of hell, part four, and stay up. Someone is waiting for you. Well, what are they waiting for me for? They're waiting for you to be an encouragement in their life. They're waiting for you to tell them to hold on. A brighter day is on its way. They're waiting to hear you say, wait just a minute, Papa. I'm getting married, and you're going to have to walk me down that aisle. Someone is waiting on you, so whatever you're thinking about, hey, get that rope, climb out of hell, get out, and we're going to help you today to stay out. And we have on the line, he's ready to go, your beloved Colonel Dr. William Harrison. Dr. Harrison, are you on this line?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, and listening audience. I'm back with you after a travel last weekend, and thanks for welcoming me back to the show. Glad to be back.
Well, we don't want to have this show without knowing your spirit is present, no matter where you are in the world, and knowing that you have something to say that is going to be helpful, because people right now need mental help, they need emotional help, they need certainly physical help, but most of all, they need to know that someone is waiting for them to come up out of hell. Get off your sick bed. That was a sage, a holy man said, take up your cot and walk. Someone is waiting for you, listening audience, you, to get off that bed of affliction. Whether you did it to yourself or not, who cares? You're on it. Someone is waiting on you to be an encouragement in their life. Now, many people, Colonel, is saying that, you know, bad news is all around us. And it appears that only the rich and famous are laughing and having a good time. Well, they're saying, what can I do to stop feeling so sorry for myself and about my conditions? And what kind of life should I be living? What do I want to do? Well, hey, we're going to make sure, Colonel Harrison, that they fret no more, because here we are. We are tuned into a higher source and a higher power. And we are divinely, hey, we're divinely spirited to give the world the news that they need. Now, you know, people are saying that, you know, I don't know how I got in this bad situation. I don't know how my life has turned out worse today than it was yesterday. I don't know why it appears as if I take two steps forward, and, you know, I'm dragged back by some invisible force 50. I'm miserable, and I'm sick and tired of being miserable. I can't seem to see the light of day of anything good in my life. So I'm thinking about running out of town. I'm thinking about taking my life. I am thinking about committing some crime so I can be thrown in jail and took care of for the rest of my life. I mean, people are really doing some crazy things here in the world. But what they don't realize is that the life they live is affecting others, some they might not even see. So is there any encouragement, Colonel, that you and I can give our listening audience as to why they need to look to something outside of themselves and that's higher than them when they're trying to get out of hell? If they're in it, they got in it. So now they need help to get out and they don't have it. What can we encourage them this morning?
Yes, I encourage them to consider a higher authority, a higher power, as you just alluded to. They're within themselves.
I can hardly hear you. Are you on the speakerphone? Is your phone turned down?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, much, much better. And I know they can hear
you. Okay. Yes. I'm I'm recommending and suggesting and encourage, highly encourage, that they consider higher power, higher authority. If they can't get out of their fix within themselves, then there is a higher source. And I don't lean into my own understanding. I'm familiar with a great prophet that lived about 3,000 years ago, and his name was Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wrote to encourage people, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," said the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." So each of us have a purpose in life, and while we're born between the womb and the tomb, we have a purpose, we have a path that this higher power has set forth for us to align ourselves with, so that we can be prosperous, we can be successful, we can be blessed, we can be encouraged. And it takes care of all things. It takes care of sickness. It takes care of trials and tribulation. It takes care of anxiety. It takes care of loneliness. But you gotta find your way to that path. And once you do, that path is planted for us or prepared for us by the source, it will lead to a better life. Yes, we're going to have trials and tribulation in this world because of the things that are going on in this world, but there is a better path, and one just has to seek that higher power, tap into it, and to get on their path, and they'll be able to come out of depression, come out of sickness, come out of discouragement, come out of discontent, and all pause.
Wow, yeah, that sounds great, and it really resonated with my heart. But, you know, I'm thinking about this thing called trials and tribulations. I think we probably need to break that down, because for young folk and some of these old folks, they don't understand trials. You know, it sounds like that's some bad omen or some evil, you know, out there coming their way. And tribulation, you don't hear that word every day. Can you break down the comment you made about people having trials and tribulations? What are those, and how can they avoid those if at all possible? Break that word, those two words down, trials and tribulations. What is that?
Certain things in life will test us. A trial is something that comes upon you unexpectedly. Usually it's a difficult situation, it's a negative situation, it's a bad situation, an adverse situation, and it's called a trial because you have to have the tenacity and the endurance to survive anything that comes upon you. If I come down with a cold, either I take cold medicine, or I drink a lot of vitamin C, or a lot of liquids or whatever to try and get rid of the cold. So the cold's going to come at some point in time, but I can't become discouraged because I have caught the cold. I gotta dig in and think of some solution that I can take to overcome that cold. That cold becomes a trial. My ability to overcome that trial is what I do about it. So that's what a trial is, that which tests us, that is out of the ordinary, an ordinary course and standard of living. And so,
and that is trial.
Yes, go ahead, Doc.
Yes, so that what you just mentioned is a trial. What is that tribulation?
The tribulation, Doc, if you don't do anything about the trial, when you have the hardship, when you have the bad time, you have the valley experience, you have the negative experience, if you don't do something about it through prayer or reaching out to someone who has resources that can help you, help encourage you, lift you, provide you resources you need to overcome whatever that bad situation, which is called a trial, it will bring on tribulation. Tribulation is the result of you not doing anything about the situation when it first come upon you. When it first come upon you, if you allow it to stay upon you, don't do anything about it, you allow it to linger, then it's going to bring after effects, after negative effects that will possibly consume you and really depress you and debilitate you. So that's what the tribulation part of it is. So you have to do something about it when the trial comes.
Okay, well, there's millions out there that don't know how to do anything about their problem. That's why you and I are here on this show. Millions all across the world, millions a year is taking their own lives. So obviously they don't have a way out. So I think we need to talk about some assistance here. people that are in trouble are not normally, and this is normal, what I'm saying, they're not normally going to go out and broadcast their problems. They're not going to go and say, hey, you know what, hey, you know, I'm getting ready to kill myself, I need some help. Most people are not going to do that. If they're hungry behind doors, most people in that condition is not going to go out and say, neighbor, I've been starving next door for a week. Is there anything I can eat? Most people is not going to do that. And I think I can go on with this train of thought. So with that in mind, what kind of ways that you think we can tell the listening audience about coming out of hell? I don't think if they're in hell, they probably know how to get out. And if they do, they can't do it by themselves. That is true enough. But people are not going to go out letting the world know their business, letting them know that they're sad, that they don't have what they've been praying 2 million phantom years, you know, for that long time, praying. They aren't going to do that. So let's do what we normally do, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, 7 ways. Let's start off, you and I, with number one, because, you know, we have very good dialogue, and we have a huge listening audience this morning. So I'm going to use me, for example. I'm in hell. You know what? I'm feeling like I'm in a bad situation that I can't get out of. Now, I might have thoughts about, well, you know, maybe I can make a phone call here or there. Oh, maybe I can walk down the street like I'm walking to a grocery store. Oh, maybe I can put my finger out on the curb, you know, play like I'm hitchhiking. I need a ride across town. Okay, that is one thing. I might use some of those methods to get out of my hell, but now we're talking about people that are sick, sad, busted, and disgusted, probably sitting on their couch right now listening. They're in a bad situation. Now, they have not told mommy, that they have not told their daughters, they have not told anyone that I'm scuffling, struggling, but I'm here in this. I'm here in this hell, self-made or other. What can we tell the audience, say, as a step number one? Because we've already explored in part 1, 2, and 3, you know, go in and confine somewhere. They're not going to do it. They're not, they're just not hardwired to do it. If you're sad and sick and, you know, you've been trying to put on a serious front, you're not going to destroy that front in an instant. You want some semblance of dignity left, but I'm still in hell with my dignity. So what is one way we can encourage our listeners on how they can get out of a bad situation that they're in? Maybe just one answer, just something that can help tip this iceberg of hell.
The first thing that comes to mind, Doc, is prayer. Prayer is powerful, it's generic, it's self-gratifying, it's self-encouraging. And if one has the ability, it doesn't have no be no form of fashion of prayer, just a sincere talk with a higher power can help pick one up from the pits and depths of wherever they are and bring them out of it and relieve them. Prayer has the power, the invisible power, to do that if one taps into it and considers it.
Oh, that's wonderful, because I know when I get in a jam, you know, the first thing I think of, oh, you know, oh, my God, I've got to reach up. But now let's be practical about this. Let's say a person has a 3-day eviction notice on their door, and it's the third day. It's around 11 a.m. in the morning. Are you going to tell a person, you and I, are we going to tell them on the third day, 12 hours, start praying? Okay, hold that thought. Now, if that situation is occurring, if they reach over and look into their purse, they got 22 cents in that, are we going to, in all practicality, tell them, oh, stop praying? If we have a sick child that the doctor has said he has 2 hours to live, are we, that suddenly it sounds like a hell to me. Are we going to, in practicality, tell them to pray? Now, I'm only saying that because there's a lot of people out there that don't pray They don't know how to pray. I had a mother tell me before she died, I don't know how to pray. And, of course, I baptized my mom in a religious service. But before she died, she told me, I don't know how to pray. Are we really going to tell millions of people who are in, now keep in mind the topic of this is they're in hell. They're already there. They're in it. Do you think that we will be received properly in light of the churches being exposed and the Catholic Church on the way going out? Every other church, you know, they have bad pastors and bad deacons. And are we really going to tell people just pray when they're at death's door in that situation? Okay, you said it. Let's clarify that. Are we going to say, oh, just sit down and pray? I mean, is there anything else that might come to mind that they also might want to hear? Let's go on to step two with that. Number one, you said pray. What else can we tell them to do in those circumstances that I just mentioned?
Number two, I highly recommend they seek outside assistance. Outside resources. There are organizations and that provide assistance to people that, depending upon what the nature of their situation, their circumstances are, that will provide assistance. I believe in faith without works is dead. If I got a problem, then I have to do something about it to help solve my problem, as long as I have the mental capacity and ability to do it. If I don't do it, then I will perish and then I will remain in the pits. But one has to seek outside assistance, because there are resources and there are organizations that will help depending upon the nature of their situation, their plight, and their circumstances.
I'm going to give you a good example. There's 90,000 sleeping on the streets in the city of Los Angeles, 90,000. And the claim is that one in three, and I hear someone clapping there in the background. Thank you. There's one in three that are mentally ill. So if there's 90,000 on the streets, one in three is mentally ill. That doesn't sound like to me that those people are going to even know how to get up and seek outside resources. And I'm going somewhere with this because, and where I'm going, keep on clapping, where I'm going to the church number one, and then I'm coming down to the government. Now, we're not going to ban the church because my father, my grandfather, seven generations on the men's side, my father, starting with my great-great-great-grandfather, they were all ministers, reverends, in the white plantation on them, the Fort Mims, Alabama plantation. So I'm not here to, bash them. You are a respected minister. So, of course, you know, and I care deeply for you and your words. So I'm not going down that. But I'm trying to see a parallel here. All thousands, almost 100,000 on the street. I don't see how 10,000 of them are going to be able to rise up off the street. They might have, pooed on themselves. They may be dirty. They may be hungry. I don't see them people getting up, trying to go anywhere and be well-received enough to get any resources, to get any help. I know if I was in charge of them, I would probably say, okay, there's 90,000 here. There's over 17 million homes just in the L.A. County Basin alone. I would say, okay, 90,100 and all them. I probably would seek out homes that would be willing to take these people in with the city or state subsidy where they could get some care, maybe some food stamps for them, maybe some medical care. But if I got one or two free bedrooms, I would think about saying, okay, you guys, all of you, citizens of L.A., open your homes up and we're going to give you some help. Now, they're already doing it. They're telling people that they can get a special permit here to use their garage and then to build up over their garage. The city will pay for that so they can help get these people off the street. Those people are not going to climb off the street or on top of one another saying, okay, I need help, give me some help. All of them are in the same shape. So people that are in a fix, that feel that they're in some kind of a hell-like situation that they can't get out of, chances are they've had a job, they have had a family, they have had people surrounding them that cared, but they fell on hard knocks. And there's a story on Smart News that talks about don't look down on the homeless. And they have about 12 people talking about how they got into it. Some say, you know, they were in a bad divorce. You know, they came home, found a lover with their spouse, so they left. Some say they lost a job, so they didn't have money for this way, ended up homeless. I mean, the stories are like, hey, and they said everybody is one step from a paycheck to hell on a sidewalk. I mean, it's a very interesting article, and we will be posting it. But I'm thinking that if people that are normally in a bad fix, they have already tried the system. They've already tried to live within it, and for some reason they have fallen out. Now let's get to the church community and the politicians. Now, the people that I know you and I like to really talk about and assist, they probably have had some kind of religious affiliation. I'm going real hard here. They've probably had that. They've probably been approached by people on the street knocking on their doors. Hey, would you like to learn how to live in paradise on earth forever? That's a very well-known phrase with Jehovah's Witnesses. I know the Mormons is riding bicycles all up and down Skid Row in white shirts and black pants with the John Smith Bible. I've seen that. And I know there's a group of Episcopalians that are saying, hey, we're going to buy up all the empty churches and we're going to help people out, let them sleep on the pews. So I think we need to really address whether or not anybody in a bad situation should be able to crawl to a place of resource, or should people that have been ordained by this high source, this high power, get them outside the door or whatever door they're in and get them combing the neighborhoods, highways. I think it's suspicious of highways and byways, so that doesn't leave anybody inside of four walls. It just doesn't. He said get out there in the highways and byways, and that's the highways and byways of life is really where you find these people, and I might mention under bridges too as well. I think a byway is above a lake or something like that. But I'm thinking, what can we say to those that are sitting and claim that they're empowered to assist people and lead them to some form of righteousness? Because if you get right, then, of course, you're going to have people helping you on your left side and right side. What can we say about that? Because these people are laying out. What can we say about those that are supposed to be assisting people in hell? And we know who we're talking about. They may not talk about it, hellfire.
The community-based church, without regard to the denomination, has an obligation, a moral obligation, to help those who cannot help themselves, those who are down and out, those who are downtrodden, those who are among the least of us, the poor, homeless, those who are shut out, sick and shut in. The church was originally organized to handle humanitarian situations such as that. In addition to that, each of us, each individual, each person, without regards to race, color, nationality, creed, gender, sexual preference, are our brother and sister's keeper. We help one another, and the church does its part. We wouldn't have the homeless population that we're having. Why is it that people that had less, the years gone by, did more than those who have more now in terms of economic success are doing less for those who are poor and in need?
Yeah, that's true.
So the church and us helping one another.
Well, you know what? That certainly is true, and I know our listeners can resonate with that because the great sage, Jesus, I'm going to call the name. Hey, you guys, don't send me no crazy email. Said, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden and heavily burdened. Come to me. So I guess when he said that, and here we are centuries later, he was situated as the Son of God, and he said, I came to do the will of the Father, not my own will. So if we were to advise these people that are in hell and bad situations, hell like situations, if we say, okay, yeah, here, he said, come unto me, the coming would be them walking, but then the church is what represents him and his statements. What if the churches are closed and it's two and three sitting up in there and just one man standing there talking, probably saying just about the same thing every week, and then when it's over with, he go his way, they go their way until a big crisis comes. Here they're on the phone calling, begging, weeping. Oh, my God, I'd probably go crazy in that situation. But what can we say about the places that are not even there for these kind of people to, if they make their way out of hell by some grace and they need to follow up? Are our churches open and available to do the follow up? What do you think, Colonel?
What has happened during the transition of life and the changes in society, Dr. Capitino, is that the main hub, before there was a welfare system, a social services welfare system to help people, the main hub, the main entity that helped people in the community from all walks of life, whether they were a member or not, was the church. The church was the center of the community. It was the heart of the community, and it had its pulse on the community. People could go there and get food. They could get clothes. They get spiritual enlightenment, spiritual encouragement, all those things. And as we have progressed in society, we have moved away from that entity, the church, which was designed to provide the basis for our mere social and moral existence. And so as we have moved away from that, some churches have fewer members, they're beginning to close doors or sell them, so forth, so on. So that entity that was established to help mankind has been abandoned for the most part by mankind, and many of them are closing. Can't rely on the government or the government's system and some politicians because they claim they don't have the tax base, they don't have the revenue to help. That comes back to us. It comes to the individual person, you, me, every person who's a citizen of the United States. You have somebody in your neighborhood, in your community, you know, that has need. You have an obligation to help them get back on their feet, help them get well, help them for the betterment of not only themselves, but your community, our cities, our states, and our country. We got to go back to the basis, being our brother and sister's keeper.
Oh, my God. You heard it straight from Colonel Harrison. He has summed this thing up, you know. My God, I was just on the edge of my chair listening to him. We have got to stretch out as our own brother's keeper. If you're walking down the street and you see somebody in hell, you see some red hot flames and some arms is up, hey, get on your stomach, your belly, get your arms in there, get them out of there, help them out. We've got to return to the main source. And I think even though Colonel stopped it right there with the brother's keeper, we know who said that. So, hey, return to the source. He said, come unto me, and I will. That's a promise. So we're going to continue next week with Get Out of Hell Part 5 because there are some people that are saying some people don't deserve eternal life. They don't deserve the life that they're living now. And why? It is because they have another race, they have another color. Someone on a plane called someone a black ugly cow. I mean, there's a lot going on in our world. So tune in next week with Colonel Harrison. Isn't he wonderful? Part 5, get out of hell, stay out. And here is the reason why. That will be our next topic. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. I mean, wow, you always add that extra punch to the Dr. Capitino show. See you next week. Have a great weekend, and listen, don't do anything that the Colonel and I would not be proud of. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning into the Dr. Capitino Show. Have a great weekend.